From NPR and WBUR, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now.
Nick Alexander, 35 ans.
Jean-Jacques Amyot, 68 ans.
Paris today, remembering the 130 people who died in this month's terrorist attacks. The city is trying to move forward despite its grief. Next week, about 3,000 extra police officers will be deployed across Paris as world leaders gather for the UN Conference on Climate Change. But the summit is only the beginning of the complex negotiations that will be needed to create a new international climate change agreement. So joining us now with more is Alden Meyer, Director of Strategy and Policy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Alden, welcome.
Glad to be with you.
So first of all, just walk us through some of the key issues that are going to be addressed at the Paris summit.
Well, it's covering the whole post-2020 landscape. So, of course, one of the biggest issues is how we take enough action on reducing emissions to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. 6 years ago in Copenhagen, President Obama and other world leaders set a goal of trying to keep global temperature increases below 2 degrees Celsius, which is about 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. There was just an analysis released in Berlin about the cumulative effect of all the national proposals that have been put on the table so far for post-2020, and they don't get us on that pathway. They're much better than business as usual, but we still have a ways to go. The other major issue will be the impacts of climate change and how to help, in particular, the vulnerable developing countries deal with those. We're already seeing impacts of climate change, and we're at less than 1 degree Celsius increase in temperature so far.
Well, so let me ask you about that, because it is true they're vulnerable both economically and environmentally, perhaps more so than most, if not all, of the developed nations. Do these poorer developing countries have any kind of leverage that they can use to extract assistance from the United States, from the European Union?
Well, they are unified in a couple of groupings, the Alliance of Small Island States, which is about 46 countries, all of which are vulnerable, particularly to sea level rise as well as storms. The least developed countries are unified, the African group. Together, they're a very powerful bloc, and of course, they have some leverage in the process and the ability to not accept a deal at the end of the day if they don't think it's good enough. But traditionally, they have not had the power that some of the bigger players like the U.S. and Europe, Japan, China, India, Brazil have had. So that'll be one of the interesting stories to watch in Paris, actually, how unified they are, how they exert their collective influence, and what kind of deal they get at the end of the day.
Now, what about the United States? Because, as you mentioned earlier, the U.S. and China, in fact, have made commitments to reduce carbon emissions. Lots of people in the scientific community say those commitments are not enough. Is there any likelihood that the U.S. could make even greater reductions or commitment to greater reductions?
Well, the U.S. has put on a table a proposal to reduce our emissions about 26% to 28% below where they were in 2005 by the year 2025. And the administration is having to do that with existing authority under the Clean Air Act and other existing laws because they're getting no cooperation from Congress. So expecting the Obama administration to commit to do more in Paris than they've already put on the table is not likely. That being said, they have had a very good relationship with China on this over the last couple of years. What China has committed to do is actually pretty breathtaking. They've committed to peak their total emissions nationally no later than 2030. Many people think they can probably do it before then, as coal use has actually plateaued and started to go down in China. They've also committed to get at least 20% of their energy from non-fossil sources by the year 2030. And just to give you a sense of scale, that's equivalent to just about the total existing generating capacity in the United States by then. So it's a pretty massive lift that they're doing.
Wow.
That being said, both the U.S. and China will need to do more if we are to avoid the worst impacts of climate change and be able to stay below that 2 degrees Celsius, 3.6 degree Fahrenheit limit.
But you know, to be fair, what about some of the other countries that could be doing more but just haven't? I mean, I've read about Russia, even Canada, Japan, Australia not quite stepping up.
Yeah, there are some laggard developed countries. Canada is going to be interesting to watch because, of course, you just had a change of government there. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has announced that Canada will be back in the game. And I think he will come to Paris on the first day of the climate summit with some announcements to make about Canada increasing the ambition of its commitments, even if he's not able to put the specifics on the table yet. Japan is is one to watch because, of course, they're still suffering the effects of the Fukushima disaster and the shutdown of almost their entire nuclear generation fleet. So they've not been as ambitious as they need to be. They need to do more on renewable energy. They also need to step up and make a commitment on financing for developing countries. They really have not indicated where they're going to go on climate finance over the long term. So Japan is one to keep your eye on.
Well, and finally, Alden, I mean, I feel like with every passing day, week, month, year, there's just more and more evidence worldwide of the effects we're already seeing of climate change. But then again, I also note that back in 2009 in the Copenhagen talks, those ended without any kind of deal. I mean, are you more optimistic that there may be some kind of deal coming out of the Paris summit?
Well, I'm very optimistic there will be a deal. I think the stars are aligning. If you look at the statements of all the major leaders of the world in recent months, if you look at the actions by cities, if you look at the announcements by businesses, more and more businesses are committing to go 100% renewable energy and phase out their reliance on fossil fuels. So there's definitely going to be a deal. The real question is, will it be an ambitious enough deal that has us coming back to the table relatively quickly after Paris to look at ways to increase the ambition of what countries are doing? And will it be a fair deal? Will it be a fair deal for the vulnerable countries who, through no fault of their own, are suffering the worst impacts of climate change? I think those are the real questions going into Paris.
Alden Meyer is Director of Strategy and Policy at the Union of Concerned Scientists. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good to be with you.